on a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning. Part of our new broadcast format, we've constantly tweaking it. We've tweaked it many times over the years, and we're always looking for ways to improve and better our information and bring you relevant information, and it's going to change 100 times going forward as well, I'm sure. Every time I think, we got it here, we think of something better. And one of the things we're doing right now is each week in the Open Line Hour, we have a weekly to-do. And it was funny, earlier in the hour, we had Brian Sansazi from the American Cleaning Institute. One of the results of the survey, 41% can't remember the last time they cleaned the fridge. Now, I believe that answer.
That's kind of gross. And the other one I thought was kind of gross was, when's the last time you cleaned your bed? And there's quite a few who can't remember the last time they cleaned their bed. I don't think people clean like they used to. I don't.
Well, coming up on April 13th, we have fridge maintenance as our weekly to-do. So we'll be talking about not only cleaning the interior, but making sure we clean underneath the fridge, we clean the dust off the compressor, we make sure it's running properly, if we've got water supplied to it, making sure our filters are updated and cleaned. But today we're talking about sealing cracks. We actually have a great video that goes along with this. That you can get a little visual aid for. It's on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/RosieOnTheHouse. You can also go to our website, RosieOnTheHouse.com. I will update it let me hit refresh. Nope. But it'll be the featured video of at RosieOnTheHouse.com in the next programming break when I get that updated. But it's a great visual aid to all the different areas you can seal around your home that insects are going to be crawling into, but also it covers what not to seal. Some new or developing pest control companies that may not be familiar with how we homes are built in the Southwest. I'm not saying I necessarily agree with the building method, because if it was a masonry home, you wouldn't need this application, but on a wood-framed home, which many of them are, that have been built in the last 20, 30, 40 years. And then you've got your styrofoam, and then you've got your stucco on top. There is a metal plate. If you follow the stucco down with your fingers and feel underneath where the stucco stops and then you see your concrete stem wall, there's a little metal edge there, and that's the bottom of the stucco. There are holes cut in that metal strip. And that's so water can drip out. Stucco is not a waterproof product. Paint is not a waterproof product. They're water shedding. And the newer the stucco, the newer the paint, the faster it'll shed the water. But that is designed to let moisture drip out through the bottom so it doesn't condense inside your walls. And a lot of pest control companies we've seen that maybe new to the market, or maybe trying to start their own business and not familiar with what they're doing, will actually seal those to keep the insects out. But what you're doing is you're keeping the water in, which can lead to mold and mildew buildup inside your walls, which is a lot bigger problem than dealing with a few creepy crawlies here and there. One of the funny things that I see is people with scorpions. Obviously, we've got a lot of scorpions. They are nasty-looking animals.
They hurt.
They hurt. Obviously, the young toddlers and elderly, people with immune systems who are threatened or not developed yet, they're our biggest threat. But it's just part of what you have to live with here in the desert. And I think it freaks people out a lot more than it needs to in a lot of cases. You said they hurt. Very rarely deadly. In fact, I didn't do my research, but I think if you looked up the last time a person died of a scorpion sting, and we've got 8 million people in Arizona now, it's not a huge lethal threat to our lifestyle. But people go crazy over it. I think they're just afraid, they look gnarly.
They do. And on that video, if you don't understand where Romy's talking about, that that is a weep screed. Is that what you call it? If you don't know where that is, just take a look and you'll see my son-in-law, and he will teach you how.
Yeah, we got Bruce recruited to help with the video production, and we also talk about having a good defensible space, no wood piles around the house, making sure vegetation's trimmed off the house. Anything we can do to eliminate a habitat will just go in having to reduce the amount of insect battling we have to do. The lower the population of insects, obviously the lower amount of battling. There are pest control companies. I was talking about scorpions. When we found a scorpion in the baby's pen, we've had a bi-week or bi-monthly scorpion treatment just while with all the kids and the toddlers around the house. They will come and do it. Most of the products they use are less harmful than table salt anymore with regulations and the demand for non-harsh synthetics from the consumers. We've got a number of great pest control companies at rosieonthehouse.com if you've got more than you can battle yourself. Another interesting, so that's our weekly how-to, and our goal with that and our new app that we've licensed for our listeners. It's called the Rosie on the House Homezada app. You can put this in your weekly to-dos, and then you can complete it once it's done. You can schedule a reminder to check it again next spring. If you do it right, you probably wouldn't have to put this out for 3 or 4 years, and it's just a way to help electronically track and keep you on top of your maintenance and send you reminders, and this isn't done or this is completed, who completed it, or if this is something we need a professional, it's a reminder to call a certified tradesman. If you've got remodeling projects, you can schedule and plan and budget for pool additions, room remodels, kitchen remodels. It'll help you inventory items in your home for theft or fire or water damage.
That's a biggie. That's really begin, and most people put it off.
And that's the home inventory is the free. If you want to go to the premium subscription, it's $5 a month, and that then includes the regular home maintenance. And if you look in your Rosie on the House home maintenance calendar, on the bottom section it says this is the month to do, and each one of those keywords you can then put in your personalized home maintenance calendar. So one more way that we're working with the amount of phones and electronics, and everyone's like, how are we going to help the next generation or reach the next generation? And we think this is going to be a big key in teaching, you know, the next generation how to manage their homes and how to keep on track of it. And, of course, hiring the right person. You heard that homeowner in the 8 o'clock hour that talked about the gazillions of dollars they spent with different landscapers trying to get their irrigation right. And it did not sound complicated. It was a gravel home with a few trees, and Bill's going to go take a look for that homeowner. So hiring the right contractor to do the job right the first time is big, and there isn't any of our contractors that's not looking for additional help. The qualified help in the trades and labor industry, it's a demand in every aspect. I'm not just talking construction trades, but automotive trades, agricultural. All of these industries are all competing in the same very small pool of resource, of talent, labor that can provide a very good living for. So if you're interested in the trades or breaking into the trades or looking for a way to maybe pay for your education instead of going and withdrawing a bunch of loans or debt or pay your way through your education, the trades is a great way to do that. And then you've got a physical skill you can fall back on should you ever need to going forward. A lot of our contractors that are part of RosieOnTheHouse.com, they've got educations and degrees that don't relate to construction at all, but just found their way into it one way or the other and have turned it into successful businesses. So we're a big proponent of, you know, at least having a trade to fall back on, if nothing else. There was an article this week I wanted to talk about glass and paper may no longer be recycled in Tucson.
I saw that, and it was because why?
Well, it's a lot cheaper to put it in the landfill. Basically, is what it comes down to.
Well, there was a time that they were able to sell, And that market's gone.
China was buying a lot of it.
So now it's not paying off.
And this is a great opportunity to look at what we're using as consumers, the amount of cardboard that goes into packaging and moving just blows my mind.
Well, with Amazon now, I mean, I've got boxes all the time, and I just hate throwing away a really beautiful, clean box, but I don't have room to store them all either.
Right, and then this article cited several times the cardboard and papers using for food, and they in particularly highlighted pizza boxes more than once. You know, the grease and the cheese and whatever else ends up on the pizza box, that's not really a recyclable material anymore because of, you know, all the grease that's on it. And here's one thing that I stumbled across in Tucson this week when I picked up a Natural Awakenings magazine. And there was a company there listed called Bungalow Box Arizona. And what this company does is they take plastic from garbage bags and make containers that are reusable. So if somebody's looking to move, instead of going and buying a bunch of cardboard boxes, you can go rent a bungalow box that's reusable, bring it, pack all your stuff, use those boxes to move, and then return it to the company so that you're not creating that cardboard waste. So one of the things we can do to help the recycling industry is reduce the demand for materials that need to be recycled by using products that are reusable instead of one-time use and throwaway.
Well, solutions are going to be, I guess it's a difference between, the government does the recycling, right? So it's going to be the private industry getting in and finding ways to help and solve the solution and make a living doing it.
And the neat thing about this bungalow box, the owner is Heather Rawson, a Phoenix native that moved to Tucson for college at U of A and never left, had seen this need and put it together. And these bungalow boxes are out of Wisconsin, so it's an American-made product out of recycled materials used to help reduce the amount of cardboard use, reducing the strain on the recycling industry as a whole.
I'd like to visit with her.
Yeah, I had a chance to yesterday, and we talked about some other ideas. You were talking about all the boxes that Amazon uses and finding, you know, maybe it's a fiberglass lightweight box. It wouldn't add a lot of weight to the trucks that Amazon could reuse over and over and over. You know, they go deliver a box to your home and they pick up empty boxes from other products they've delivered there. And so as their trucks, instead of having all these cardboard boxes that, you know, empty throughout the day, well, as you deliver this box, you now have got an area to put this other box back in. And, you know, what about pizza boxes? Finding a reusable way to...
I did not know they weren't recyclable until we had Phoenix Recycle on. And I was like, what? So, and when I tell people, hey, you can't recycle that, they're surprised. But they're all greasy.
Yeah, the percent of items that go into the recycle bin that are actually recycled is less than 10%.